by music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Yes, it's my music again. The British composer John Ireland wrote a London overture in which there was a tune which was said to have been inspired by a bus conductor calling out, Piccadilly! As it happens, our studio is within a mere stone's throw of Dia-da-da-dum. And here on the stage are my four friends, John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, this piece of music is magnificent, but it's also highly repetitive. Can you identify and explain, please?
It's what they call a passacaglia, you know. It's one of those old medieval dances, you know, three in a bar, and it goes on and on and on till the damn thing's finished. Or to put it, Brahms' Symphony No. 4 in E minor.
The last movement, yes. 30 variations on an eight-bar theme, which we just heard.
I would like to tell you a story about Sir Thomas was rehearsing Brahms' 4th Symphony one day. And the orchestra always didn't like it when he rehearsed Brahms, because Brahms was one of the few things he wasn't all that marvellous at. He used to conduct without a score, and he kept on at this rehearsing, lunging at the trombone, who didn't play anything. And after that happened about 7 times at a rehearsal, he said, "Trombones, why aren't you playing?" And they said, "Well, Sir Thomas, this is the 4th symphony of Brahms. This is the first movement we don't play until the Passacaglia." He said, "I don't give a damn about that. Play something. Otherwise, you make me look such a damn fool."
No wonder they loved him, yeah. Frank, what has this tune to do with Jean-Antoinette Poisson, who became Madame Le Normand d'Étoile?
Personality. Poisson became d'Étoile. It's a story of a fisher girl who became a star. She actually became Madame Pompadour.
Yes. Madame Pompadour,
and
yes.
Presumably she figures
when,
in the...
When Madame Pompadour was on the ballroom floor, yes. Said all the gentlemen, obviously, the lady has a perfect personality. Yes, you got it. Ian, I think it would be nice if you'd sing your answer, please. Which route will you take, Ian?
Oh, by Tummel and Lochraddock and Lochaber I will go. By heaven tracks with heaven in the wilds. And if it's Thanksgiving, you're in a pair of dragons in my step. You've never felt the tangle or the aisles.
Yes.
If they ever build a tunnel to the aisles, all you Scots singers will be out of work.
Right, for Dennis, a touch more piano. Dennis, in my dance band playing days, I worked at one time or another under the conductorship, or perhaps I ought to say it was paid by, band leaders like Ambrose, Maurice Winnick and Victor Sylvester. Can you remember what their signature tunes were, please?
Well, you just played Ambrose when Day Is Done.
Yes.
Maurice Winnick was like 40 throbbing saxophones playing their sweetest music. Yes, all trilling. And
Victor had an in signature tune and an out tune.
Da-dee, da-dum-dee, da-dum-dee, da-dum-dee.
But he also... Don't say goodbye. Don't
that was the end one, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Did you used to do those trilly bits right at the beginning?
Yes, the lemonade.
Yeah.
Is nothing beyond him. Is nothing beyond him.
Yes.
He must be in league. He must be in league with the devil.
The first thing that's really impressed us.
Let us all improve our...
played for Victor Sylvester. Yeah.
Let us all improve our musical knowledge, including mine. Right, the next round. John, this is to check some people's birthplaces. In which city were they born? There are three of them. Georges Alexandre César Léopold Bizet.
The city of Paris, France.
Yes, right, Paris, yes. César Auguste Jean-Guillaume Hubert Franck.
Liège.
Yes, well, well done. And Eugène Francis Charles d'Albert.
Glasgow.
Yes, you got it. D'Albert, incidentally, had six wives. Did you know that?
Yes, and when Sir George Grove was doing the Grove's Dictionary, he said, shall I mention your wives? And D'Albert telegraphed back, said, only the most famous.
Frank, a Times music critic writing about Irving Berlin said that probably Berlin's greatest ballad was a song called How Much Do I Love You? Alas, there is no such song. What had he in mind?
How much do I love you?
Yes,
I'll tell you no lie.
How deep is the ocean? How deep is the ocean, yes. It was Richard Morrison writing in the Times. He said it was a song with metaphors of unfaltering certainty. Unfortunately, he wasn't too certain about
it's a good example of that, the Debs tapping the band leader on the shoulder. Can you play?
You know, there's a whole Chicks and Ducks, yes.
Lisa Brown, is a good, do you remember?
Lisa Brown came tumbling down. Ian, in July 1791, the composer was made a Doctor of Music at Oxford. He wrote in his diary, I had to pay 1.5 guineas to have the bells rung, and 1/2 guinea for the robes. A white silk gown with red silk sleeves and a black hat. I looked quite funny. 3 evenings of his music were played at the Sheldonian, including some of his over 100 symphonies. Who was he?
Nationality?
Yes, he had a nationality.
I was asking you what it was.
Well, he was imported to Oxford from elsewhere.
From abroad.
From the continent, yes.
From the continent,
right.
Yes.
That's right. July 1791.
Would there be, by any chance, a clue to this in your introduction to this programme? When you played a London symphony.
No, yes. Oh, I say, how obscure. Yes, you're right, yes.
In that case, I think I know the answer.
Yeah.
Mr. Haydn.
Hit us with it. Haydn, it was, yes. It was Joseph Haydn, that's right.
Not too many people have written 100, over 100.
I thought it was nice that he said, I looked quite funny. Not many composers would have said that at their moment of glory, would they? It was very sweet of him.
I wouldn't have thought Wagner would, really.
Yes. Haydn.
If I promise to keep next for the quiet for the next half dozen programmes, can I tell you a story about Oxford? The last...
What you can say about Haydn?
No. The last vice-chancellor but one of Oxford was a certain Dr. Lowe. And he was also Dean of Christchurch at one time. And he was asked to give a lecture in Exeter. And so he wrote back, and he said, no, I have no time. It would take much too much time to get from Tom Quad to Exeter. But I'll come, he said, rather facetiously, if you send a helicopter. This is about 30 years ago. And they said, all right, we'll send you a helicopter. So they did. And he went off. And the students heard about this, and so they all gathered for his arrival back by helicopter. And they were all gathered round, and there was a brass band playing. And some of them who'd been to church recently thought, well, now, what is that hymn they're playing? And it was, Lo, he comes in clouds descending.
Splendid. Dennis, the keyboards on organs are called manuals. St. Paul's Cathedral organ has 5 manuals. Given that the first 4 are called the swell, the great, the choir, and the solo, what is the 5th manual called?
Okay.
Would it be called the same as the first one, so it would be We're a Couple of Swells? I have no idea. Never having been Victor Sylvester's pianist, I had no musical background whatsoever.
Give the man a mark, actually. The 5th manual is called the 5th manual.
Oh, that's imaginative.
That's its name.
That was a worthwhile question, wasn't it?
Yes. There are various kinds of serenade. Sunrise serenade, for instance. Schubert's serenade. John, where will I find this serenade?
I should think you'd find it in the Oxford University Press Music Library.
Yes.
Because it's a work by Vaughan Williams.
Yes.
Called Serenade to Music.
Serenade to Music, yes.
Written for Henry Wood's Jubilee.
That's right. Frank, this like, serenade...
It sounds like, oh, don't know we're standing alone.
Only to you, I think.
Got you there.
No, no, it does a bit. I'll give you that, it does a bit. Yes, that's right. Frank, it's your turn. This serenade was popular between the wars. And so on.
Serenade to a Wealthy Widow.
Yes, by... Do you remember?
No.
Reginald Forsyth.
Yes, yes. Reginald Forsyth.
Oh, Reginald Forsyth. When I was in the RAF, we had a what we used to call a concert party, would now be called a review or a rep the company or something. And Reginald Forsyth was our musical director.
Oh yeah.
And you mentioned Sunrise Serenade. You know, my musical knowledge is absolutely nil. He was a musical director, and we were a group of about 40, including Eric Sykes and people. And he decided he'd do a choral arrangement of Sunrise. Ferdinand Grofe, you know. Yes. Sunrise, another new day. And he told me to sing harmony. And I spent a month, and immediately I got on the stage. Every night I sang whatever the chap on my right was singing.
That's what he was there for.
Yes.
Right. Ian, what would you say was the favourite serenade of Jack Jones's dad?
I think... Alan Jones, the Donkey Serenade.
Yes, Donkey Serenade, that's right. Dennis, a few bars from the middle of another serenade. Which serenade is that?
That's Shades of Monty Ray, that Penny Serenade.
Penny Serenade, that's right. And a serenade for the audience to identify. Thank you.
Everybody.
Serenade in blue it was, yes.
You don't get anything.
No. The words of songs. John, where can I find Diamond Rings?
Walrus concerned, baby. Oh, what lucky day.
With her diamond rings is the line, actually.
You didn't say that. Half a mark.
No, I'm saying it now.
Oh, whatever.
You don't know it, do you? It's,
no.
It's from St. Louis Blues.
Good.
St. Louis woman with her diamond rings.
Fine.
Frank, who has a crabapple face?
Bing Crosby.
Now, he sang the song, but who's...
Sentimental character.
Not sentimental, no. He was more sad than sentimental.
Oh, bad-tempered gentleman.
No, he was more pessimistic.
pessimistic gentleman.
Pessimistic character with a crabapple face, yes. Yeah. Fair enough.
I knew it, didn't I?
Ian, ever since Heaven Knows When...
You may never want to change partners again.
For a moment you sounded like Jimmy James then. Dennis, confectionery. Which song's that from?
Confection. You're a confectionery. Goodness knows, honeysuckle rose. I can't do... I don't know, confectionery.
Your confection, goodness knows. No, this is confectionery.
No, confectionery, no.
The tune is...
Sugar.
Yeah, sugar. It's the end of the first phrase.
In Webster's confectionery.
Just as a matter of interest, yes, there's a reference to Webster's dictionary at the end of the verse. As well
Webster's
as in Morocco Bound and Too Marvellous for Words. So that's three songs, all with the references to Webster's dictionary. I think their PR man was working overtime. I've mentioned before the practice of spotting through a long playing record in order to find the bit you want. You just drop the needle every now and then. It's not recommended if you care about the condition of your records. Doesn't apply to CDs, of course, where there's no actual contact in the disc. But to make up for that, the manufacturers of CD playback machines have arranged for a fault to develop sometimes, which gives the same effect. You get the idea. Let's see if you can identify some singers just from split-second bits like that.
That was Brahms 4.
That was from Brahms, actually.
Good
yes.
singer.
John, who's the singer?
The boy, yeah.
You will be kind to...
Now I will...
Ain't a lady...
Sounds like Ian Wallace, doesn't it?
Somebody singing Frank's song there. Didn't recognise him. The monologue was the second bit from the monologue. Anybody in the audience recognise? Yes, Stanley Holloway it was. No, Stanley Holloway. Frank, here's yours.
I could see the clouds were like an aurora borealis.
Aurora borealis.
It being Fitzgerald.
Ella, yes, it was Ella. Who was the pianist? Oscar Peterson, right. Ian,
Oscar
here's
Peterson.
Yours. Yeah. Ian, here's yours.
First she washed it, then she... And I left off... As our dreams...
Right, who?
Is it that Irish fellow with the sweater?
Yes.
Val Dunican.
Val Dunican, yes. Somebody for Dennis.
She dance. Yes, Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, yes. Yeah. We all have our funny little foibles, and one of my funny little foibles is the revulsion I suffer when anybody sings...
And now...
I thought maybe the best way to get that song out of my mind once and for all would be to make up a montage of singers singing it. So here are five of them. See if you can name the performers afterwards.
And now, the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain.
Don't you know I lived a life that's full? Yeah, it was full. I traveled each and every highway
and more, much more than this.
And so on. I wonder how you got on at home. Let's have the names, please. Anybody just chip in. The first was
Vera
Lynn, then...
Shirley
Bassey, thank you. You tell us in the audience. Then, did you get the next one?
Sammy Davis.
Sammy Davis.
Well, the one who didn't sing the song was Sammy Davis, didn't he? On another word.
That's right, yeah. Then came...
Tom Jones.
And finally...
Lynn Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra, yes, right. I have to be a bit careful now, because some people think I'm trying to go over the top on this next subject. The fact is that it just happens that none of us on this stage are smokers. At least two of us were confirmed cigarette smokers for years, but we're not anymore. I wonder if there's an appropriate piece of music or musical experience, a theme song for non-smokers or for smokers themselves. Anybody got an idea on this?
Well, smoke gets in your hair. Smoke gets in your clothes. Smoke gets in your food. And there's another one, but I can't quite...
Smoke gets in your rice.
Ah. Yes, that's right. I don't think anybody's
going
to... Nobody's going to top that, I think. Anybody have an idea?
On a clear day.
Oh, yeah.
I like Tennyson's Maud.
Come into the garden, Maud.
Later on, it's you're never alone with a woodbine.
I think the other one you were referring to gave up smoking. One of the minor joys of it is you don't have to do all those logistics about smoking. In other words, whenever you go out, have I got enough to last me for the evening? But suppose I stay long, I better put another packet over there. So I think a good one is, I've got 20 of nothing.
Right, and so to the songs, chosen as ever by the singers themselves. Frank, for instance, is going to break new ground by singing, would you believe, a Duke Ellington number. It's Don't Get Around Much Anymore. And don't forget, Frank, it don't mean a thing if you haven't got that swing.
hang on. Don't swing it. It's a very sad number.
Well,
particularly the way I sing it.
Right. There's the key.
Mr. Saturday Dance, here they crowded the floor. Couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore. Thought I'd visit the club. Got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about you. Don't get around much anymore. Darling, I guess my mind's more at ease, but nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited to shows, might have gone, but what for? Couldn't get on without you. Don't get around much anymore. There.
You've got Duke Ellington and a Count Basie ending. You've got two Aristotle.
Right, yes. John's found a page of Puccini that I think Shu might enjoy. It comes from The Girl of the Golden West.
What you cannot say has been revealed by your heart. When my arm circled your waist in the dance just now, when against my heart I could feel yours beat, mine was flooded with joy divine and a wondrous calm I cannot
describe. There's a song from 1938 that I've been waiting patiently for Dennis to rediscover. It's a girl's song, but that needn't deter us, I think. It's about her boyfriend, Cecil.
I'm knitting a singlet for Cecil, a soft, woolly singlet for Cecil. It will keep him as snug as a bug in a rug, as in its embrace he will nestle. It's the first time I've knit one of these, so it's shorter than fashion decrees. It's low at the back and the front is a V, and the armholes are not where I meant them to be. But it's thick, so it's bound to remind him of me. The singlet I'm knitting for Cecil.
What I was hissing at you, Steve, is that could be the girl with the golden vest.
Oh, of course, the connection, yes. I think, actually, Ian's quite jealous that he didn't think of singing that song about Cecil.
I think he writes them himself.
They're all the same tune, aren't they?
Yes, they're all the same tune.
Charming thing.
Steve loves playing them so much, yes. So I can't, what can I do?
I also, may I say, love playing this. This is Ian's choice, W.H. Squire's In an Old-Fashioned Town.
There's an old-fashioned house in an old-fashioned street.
in a quaint little old-fashioned town. There's a street where the cobblestones harass the feet as it straggles uphill and then down. And though to and fro through the world I must go, my heart, while it beats in my breast, where'er I may roam, to that old-fashioned home, will fly back like a bird to its nest. In that old-fashioned house, in that old-fashioned street, dwell a dear little old-fashioned pair. I can see their two faces so tender and sweet, and I love every wrinkle that's there. I love every mouse in that old-fashioned house, in the street that runs uphill and down. Each stone and each stick, every cobble and brick, in that quaint little old-fashioned town.
That is a charming song, and I hope you'll be charmed by the final score in the quiz, a victory this week. Why not? For Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Bye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.